Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure: startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach integrier- und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Never have I ever had a threesome. Jack had his glass raised before he'd even finished the sentence. He took a long, noisy gulp of beer, making sure both me and Jenny were watching. I didn't drink, just glanced over at Jenny and rolled my eyes. She shook her head in response. Jack, you haven't had a threesome. I have. No, you haven't. There isn't even one girl on campus stupid enough to sleep with you, let alone two. Jack put his pint down and grinned. Ah, don't be jealous, Jenny. I'm sure you'll find someone soon. I can't be jealous of something that never happened, can I? Ask those two freshers if it never happened, if you're so sure. Oh yeah, and where would I find them exactly? Just look for the two most satisfied girls on campus. Jack picked up his pint and winked. They'll be more than happy to confirm the story. I snorted. Couldn't help myself. Jack might have been a dick, but he always made me laugh. He made Jenny laugh too, even if she didn't always like to show it. The three of us had been in a flat together in our first year of university, and by December, we'd already signed up to share a house for our second year. We made the decision fast, giddy with the honeymoon stage of our new friendship. But now, I wondered if we'd been a bit too quick. We still got on well and had a laugh together, but I noticed Jack and Jenny started to grate on each other lately, and their grating ended up grating on me. Looking at the frown on Jenny's face after Jack's last comment, I decided to intervene, calm things down before the night took a turn for the worse. Hang on a minute, mate. You can't drink on your own turn, can you? Surely that defeats the point of saying never have I ever. Jack looked back at me with wide, innocent eyes. Sure you can. I check the rules.
You check the rules?
Yeah, I googled them before we came out. There's no way that you google the rules of never have I ever before we... He's right, you know. The voice cut me off mid-flow. All three of us looked around at the same time. The girl standing next to our table wasn't anyone I recognised. She was short and blonde, with bright green eyes and a half smile on her face. I'd never seen her around before. Judging by the looks of confusion on Jack's and Jenny's faces, they didn't recognise her either. The three of us shared a quick, confused glance while the girl stood there. It was Jack who recovered first. You see, guys, I told you I'd look them up. He turned back to the blonde girl. Sorry, I don't think we've met before. I'm Jack. That's Max over there, and the ray of sunshine opposite me is Jenny. Jenny scowled. Are you... Jack glanced around the crowded bar, searching for the right words. Are you with anyone, or... No, I'm waiting. Later, I think back to that sentence. The oddness of it. Not I'm waiting for my housemates or I'm waiting for friends. Just I'm waiting. But at the same time, the thought didn't even cross my mind. I just assumed the girl was waiting for people she knew to arrive and had overheard our conversation while passing by our table. I guess all of us assumed that. Well, feel free to wait with us and play a few rounds if you want, Jack was saying now. These two keep ganging up on me, and I could use someone on my side. What did you say your name was? Okay, thanks. I'll stick around for a while. The girl smiled at Jack.
She brushed a lock of blonde hair from her forehead as she took a seat opposite me. I saw Jack's grin widen. I snuck a glance at Jenny and saw her sitting back in a seat, arms folded, face unreadable.
"Well, we go round clockwise and I just had my turn," said Jack.
"So I guess that means it's your go." The blonde girl flicked her eyes from Jack to me. I felt a small shiver in my stomach. Her eyes were large and pixie-ish, an unusual shade of green. The poetry books I read for my English Lit course would have had a lot to say about eyes like that. I glanced down at my pint, suddenly a bit embarrassed, hoping my face wasn't turning red. I was still staring at the table when the girl spoke.
"Never have I ever woken up in an empty house."
I looked back up, my embarrassment gone as quickly as it had come.
"Never have I ever woken up in an empty house."
What was that about?
"Never have I ever" might not have been the best drinking game at uni, but I'd yet to meet a student who hadn't played it before. Everyone had. It was the kind of time-killing game you played when you didn't have a pack of cards or when everyone was too drunk to bother with them. And because we'd all played it, we all knew the unwritten rule. The stuff you said was always sexual. It was always something sex-related. The idea was to make a statement like Jack's one about having a threesome, then wait to see who drank. The people who drank were the ones who'd done it. I cast my mind back, trying to think of a time I'd played when it hadn't been like that. I couldn't. Jack and Jenny's silence told me they couldn't either. I glanced quickly at both of them. Jenny's previous blank face now wore a slight frown. Half confusion, half exasperation. Jack just looked like a man whose bubble had burst. But being Jack, he was also the quickest to recover. He spun his glass slowly on the table and grinned across at Jenny, who had just taken a sip from hers.
"Don't try to tell me you're drinking, Jenny," he said. "You've never even woken up in an empty bed, let alone a house."
"Get lost, Jack."
I took a gulp of my own drink, trying to pretend I hadn't heard the edge that had crept into Jenny's voice. Jack did the same. As I put my pint down, I stole another glance at the girl sitting opposite me. Her face was impossible to read. She had a drink in front of her that I hadn't noticed before, what looked like a gin and tonic, and she was prodding at the glass with a finger. If she had any idea she'd said something the rest of us found odd, she didn't show it. The game continued. After a bit of coaxing, Jenny eventually had a turn, and then, a few minutes later, I had mine. Jack went out to get another round of drinks, then came back and took his. And then, it was the blonde girl's turn again. I won't describe every single turn everyone took. If I'm honest, I can't remember them all. That was the point when the night began to slide away from me, to take that subtle turn that so many of our nights out did, drifting from pleasantly tipsy to suddenly far too drunk. I remember Jack saying something about shower sex that made everyone laugh. I remember downing a pint while others chanted around me, banging the table in unison. I remember locking eyes with a blonde girl, catching her half smirk as she brushed her hair from her face. And I remember some of the things she said, some of her never have I evers. Those I do remember. While everyone else continued with the usual kind of nonsense, the girl carried on saying weird stuff, kind of creepy stuff. Sometimes it produced awkward laughter, sometimes an awkward silence. Sometimes Jack would make an innuendo. A couple of times Jenny rolled her eyes in a really obvious way, and once she pretty much burst out laughing as soon as the girl was done talking. But I never did. The girl's face remained blank whenever she spoke, and she never gave any hint that she realized she'd said something odd. I began to feel a little bad for her. But there was no denying the strangeness of the stuff she came out with. As well as I can remember, here are a few of her never have I evers. "Never have I ever woken up from a nightmare I couldn't remember. Never have I ever been completely terrified without knowing why. Never have I ever refused to look in the bathroom mirror in case someone was standing behind me.
Never have I ever forgotten the worst thing that ever happened to me. Never have I ever seen a shadow from the corner of my eye. By the time she came out with that last one, I was pretty far gone. I'd lost count of how long the game had been going on for and how much I'd drank. My head was spinning. My mouth felt dry. The taste of tequila I couldn't remember drinking on my tongue. I looked down and saw cluttered shot glasses on the table in front of me, limes and spilled salt, at least 6 empty pints. I went to stand up and my hip bashed the table's edge, causing the glass to rattle.
"Hold up, Max is tapping out."
Jack's words slurred into each other. He grinned up at me and drained his pint.
"Get us another round in, mate."
I edged past the back of his chair, saw Jenny sitting opposite Jack, her arms folded. "Isn't it her turn to get a round in?" Jenny's eyes were wide and bloodshot from booze. She stared at Jack, unblinking, the anger in her face obvious.
"She?"
said Jack, leaning over and gripping the hand of the blonde girl.
"Is drinking on me."
Before I was clear of the table, I made eye contact with the blonde girl one last time, her green eyes fixed on mine. She held my gaze for a moment, her expression unreadable. Then, she winked. As I stumbled away from the table into the crowded bar, I remember thinking it was strange that she still only had one gin and tonic in front of her. Voices, music, packed, jumbled bodies. The rest of that night is a jigsaw puzzle with pieces missing. When I think back to it now, I'm not sure what's real and what isn't, which memories are true and which are false, conjured up by my own mind to fill in the blanks. I have a memory of squeezing my way across a crowded dance floor, the room spinning around me. Too many faces, too much light, pounding bass music filling my head. I remember aiming for the bar, but ended up in the toilet, crouched on all fours in a cubicle as I threw up burning tequila. My jeans damp from urine where I kneeled on the wet tiles. Time passed. I don't know how much. The next memory I have is of the dance floor. I was somewhere in the middle, clutching a slopping pint that kept spilling over my hand, dancing with random groups of people. Some of them cheered when they saw me, others turned away in disgust. I kept looking for familiar faces, for any sign of Jack or Jenny, but I couldn't see them. More time passed. The last clear memory I have from that night is of the argument, arguing with a group of strangers. I was swaying next to a table at the back of the bar, next to our table, and I was telling the people sat there that they were in my seat. They were all in our seats, that me and my friends had been sitting there. The strangers looked confused, and then annoyed, finally angry. One of the guys got in my face and told me to get lost. I mumbled something I can't remember and turned away. For a split second, so fleeting, I can't be sure it was real. I thought I saw Jenny. I thought I saw the back of her head. The crowd parted, and I glimpsed her on the far side of the bar, heading towards the exit. Then the crowd shifted, and someone blocked my view, and I lost sight of her. I woke in the darkness of my bedroom, lurched out of sleep like a drowning man desperate for air. I'd been dreaming. A dream in which I danced with Jack and Jenny in the bar, screaming along the lyrics of some song. And now I felt disoriented, unsure what was real and what wasn't. I also felt awful. My brain felt like it had swollen in my skull. My head pounded. I could taste alcohol and bile in my mouth. My tongue was so dry I couldn't swallow, and my stomach was empty save for acid. I reached over to my bedside table, feeling for a glass of water, and found my phone instead. 3 a.m. The house was silent around me. I couldn't hear anyone downstairs, couldn't remember how I got home. Right then, I didn't care. Right then, the only thing I wanted was for the pain in my head to go away.
I slowly pushed myself up from the bed and swung my legs over the table, kept in a half crouch to try and ease my headache. A fist clenched in my stomach, a warning sign. Moved too fast and I'd throw up. I pushed back the duvet and hobbled to my little ensuite bathroom, planning to gulp some water straight from the tap. Click. I switched the small light on and winced at the brightness. Over my head, the extractor fan hummed to life. Keeping my eyes squinted, I crept over to the mirror above the sink. Damn, I looked awful. My hair stuck up in every direction, and the skin of my face was ghost pale. My eyes were bloodshot. I was still wearing the same clothes I'd been in last night. The collar of my shirt was crusted with something yellow, what looked to be vomit. Some neon pink drink had spilled down my front. I reached out and turned on the tap, stared at myself as I waited for the water to go cold. Tried to remember what had happened the previous night and how I'd got home. As I felt the water change in temperature, I lowered my head, drank from the stream like an animal, felt the cold liquid rush into my mouth, smoothing out the sandpaper off my tongue. When I finished, I splashed water on my face, turned the tap off, and wiped my eyes as I straightened up. The blonde girl was standing behind me. She was directly behind my right shoulder, staring at me in the mirror. I screamed, slipped as I tried to spin around on the spot, my foot skidding in a wet patch on the tiles. I went down hard at my left side. Shock and fear burned my nerve endings. I scrambled on the floor, twisting myself onto my back so I could get a look at the spot where she was standing. But nobody was there. I stared around the bathroom, pulling in deep breaths, my heart pounding. She'd been there, in the mirror. I'd seen her. This wasn't like one of my drunken memories that blended into a dream. She'd been in my bathroom. But now, the bathroom was empty. I forced myself up into a crouch, and then into a standing position, crept slowly back into my dark bedroom. Nothing. Even after I'd switched the light on, banishing the shadows that lurked in the corners, there was nothing. My bedroom door was shut, and I knew I would have heard if someone had opened it. There was nobody in my room. Nobody had been in my room. I must have imagined it. Only, I hadn't imagined it. I knew I hadn't. Half an hour passed before I forced myself to climb back into bed to try and get some more sleep. I tucked my hand below my pillow and felt the rustle of paper. A single, crumpled sheet that had been stuffed beneath it. All of that happened months ago now. Months since the game of Never Have I Ever, and months since I saw the girl in my bathroom. Months since I found the note below my pillow. When I look back on that night, I always ask myself what I could have done differently, whether I could have changed the outcome. There are a lot of things I think about, lots of specific moments and memories, and that note is one of them. As ridiculous as it was, as unbelievable as it was, I still wonder if I should have given it to the police, if I should have handed it over. But when I start thinking like that, the thought that always comes back is this. They wouldn't have taken it seriously. Who would have? Even I didn't take it seriously. Not at first. I guess I thought it was some stupid joke when I found it. Just something Jack had written for a prank. 7 little words, scrawled on a torn off piece of notepaper. A line running through them, as if the whole sentence had been crossed out. Never have I ever met a succubus. Before I had a chance to give it a second thought, someone was banging on the front door of our house. Heavy, urgent knocks. I stuffed the note in the pocket of my jeans and went to answer it, thinking it might be my friends. But it wasn't. It was 2 police officers. I didn't believe them when they told me Jenny was dead. I couldn't. I heard their words, but they didn't make any sense to me. They didn't seem real. The officers said that Jenny had been found in an alleyway behind the bar where she was drinking, lying behind a dumpster. An ambulance had been called, but she'd been pronounced dead at the scene. A heart attack, I found out later. They had some questions for me, and I guess I answered them. Questions about where we'd been, and about how much we'd been drinking, about who we'd been drinking with. I told them about the game, and about Jack. I told them about the blonde girl that had joined us. They took some notes, told me they'd be in touch, and went on their way. It was only after they left that I remembered the piece of paper in my pocket. I still have it. I'm sitting in the bedroom of my parents' house right now, staring out the window, and I can feel the crinkle of it in my jeans. Usually, I keep the thing tucked to my wallet when I'm out, so it's with me wherever I go. A reminder of what happened that night. A reminder of my friends. A reminder that no matter how many mysteries are uncovered in the world every day, and no matter how many crimes the police solve, there are just as many that they never do. Just as many questions that remain unanswered. Like the question of Jack. They never found him in the end. They looked everywhere and they interviewed people, but nothing came up. Just dead ends. A few people in the bar confirmed that they'd seen him that night, but that was about it. The CCTV in the place hadn't been working. The owner said it had malfunctioned earlier that day, and they'd been waiting to get it fixed. There was one couple who claimed they'd seen him later on, though. They said they thought they spotted him a few streets away from the bar we'd been drinking, at about 2 a.m, walking in the direction of a large park near the city centre. Walking with a blonde girl. But no matter how hard the police looked, they could never track down the girl. Jack hasn't been seen since. I still Google his name every now and again, though, just to check. As far as I know, the case is still active and the police are still looking for him. So I keep checking in, just to see if anything new has come up, to see if there have been any updates on the search. But there never are. And if I'm really, truly honest with myself, I don't think there ever will be.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure, startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure, startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.